You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Happy Friday to you today on As the Portal Turns. We've got Sam Pittman's comments about Arkansas and NIL and all the transfer stuff that's going on. Razorbacks get a commitment overnight from an Oregon offensive lineman. Selman Bridges has pulled his name out of the portal. Patrick Kudus has transferred to Ole Miss. And much, much more. We're going to get into all of that today. Also, we'll talk with Anthony Christensen as the Razorback basketball team gets ready to play UCA tomorrow at Simmons Bank Arena in North Little Rock. Christina Long, managing editor of Hogs Illustrated, here with me this morning. I don't know that there's been a Sam Pittman press conference that has been more anticipated than yesterday's. And it wasn't really a press conference, so to say. It was on Zoom. Mm-hmm. But still, he got asked a lot of questions about, hey, what the heck is going on right now with all of the players leaving and, you know, just everything that's going on within the program right now. And so there was a lot of anticipation about this. And I think the message that he tried to get across was, no matter how chaotic it looks on the outside, it really does not seem too chaotic on the inside. And I think if you listen to some other college coaches across the country right now, this is happening everywhere. Coaches are saying, we can't build programs. We're just having to build rosters from year to year. And the same thing's happening with Arkansas.
Yeah, I was really surprised at kind of the tone of the press conference in a positive way. I was pleasantly surprised when it comes to, he seemed more confident than I thought that he would, just because, you know, and I think part of that is because we haven't heard from him because he had the surgery. You know, we weren't able to do a signing day availability with him where they usually go over the class, just because it was right after his surgery. And so we hadn't heard from him in a while. And so I think because of that, everything, you know, we've all been talking, fans have been talking, everybody's kind of been wringing their hands over all of these transfers out. And there's not been any sort of voice from inside the program saying, this is actually our plan, this is what we're doing about it, until now. And so, you know, I think I was expecting, I guess because it felt like the sky was falling, mm-hmm. I was expecting him to reflect that. Obviously, he didn't. He wants to project confidence. He wants to project that everything is going to be fine. But it does seem that he does believe it, that they do mm-hmm. have a plan. You know, I don't think he's a particularly hard person to read. I think sometimes you can tell when things are not going particularly well. And I was surprised at how confident he seemed. And it was interesting how much discussion, you know, we had talked before the press conference about, hey, what kind of stuff do we want to ask? And mm-hmm. you're like, make sure, ask him if these transfers are about money. In his opening statement, or maybe it was the answer to the first question, he said he addressed it. We didn't even have to ask. He was like, a lot of these transfers are about money. He said there's two reasons. You know, guys will transfer because they want more playing time. And so there's guys that you're seeing who weren't really on the depth chart, weren't really going to get a chance to play here. They've gone. Then there's the guys, the significant contributors. And he was very upfront about it. He was like, those are financial decisions. And then he had a lot more to say about what exactly, it was really detailed about what exactly those conversations are like.
I think that when you're not in that seat that a head coach is in, and it doesn't have to be just the head coach, basically the football staff. When you're not in their seat, you're looking at it solely from, hey, well, this guy did this, and we thought he could be this next year, and hey, this kills us for the Liberty Bowl. But I think, you know, when you're in that seat, you're looking at it from a much, much bigger picture. You know what your NIL dollars available are. You know what players are asking for. You have seen them in practice, and you've seen them in games, and you've seen them in meeting rooms, and you've seen them around the locker room, and you know what their value is. And so he's able, I think, to take a much bigger picture look at the program than any of us who are not in that chair are.
Right. And it's something he talked about a little bit. He said, you know, he mentioned the example of someone asked him, like, what's your message to fans who are, you know, freaking out over all these big starter losses? And he mentioned, you know, he was like, hey, we get it. You know, he gave this specific example of like Luke Haz. He said, seeing a guy like Luke Haz hit the transfer portal, obviously fans are going to be like, that's a huge loss. And he's mm-hmm. like, and we felt it too. It was a hard decision for Luke. He felt it. Like, we know that's a big loss. But he was also saying, we have to think about the entire team. We can't, you know, we'll get into a little bit of what he said about kind of how they sort of evaluate and decide what value they're willing to place on some of these players. But he basically was saying, we can't, just because we really like a guy doesn't mean we can overpay for him relative to what we think he, and I don't know the specific situation with Lucas. Could have been something else, whatever.
I think it's probably that.
I think it is. And he was basically saying we can't just give all of our money to a few guys that we really like. We have to think about the team as a whole. He said it has to be about the team, not about an individual guy.
This is the first time that we've had you in here because you've been gallivanting all around Manhattan all week. But I've said this a couple of times. I don't see anyone who they have lost long-term.
Right.
Short-term for the Liberty Bowl, these are big losses. Long-term, I don't see anyone that they've lost who is irreplaceable. I mean, these aren't Darren McFadden's they're mm-hmm. losing. These aren't, Hunter Henry-type players. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
the hardest guy to replace is going to be Andrew Armstrong, and he's not a transfer.
But that's not a transfer. That's right. And so from the standpoint of the starters who are transferring, I just don't see anyone who is irreplaceable. I think that they are all – now, will they replace them up to the level that those players were? That's – we'll see. They've had some success doing that with some players. They haven't been able to do it with some others. But I think that, you know, what's hard for people who want to live by – every tweet and every message board post and all this is just to kind of step back, take a deep breath, and let's just see how this plays out. Because I think that there are some, I think I would be surprised, but based on what we've seen over the last couple of years, when this kind of stuff has gone on too, they've been able to replace some of these guys with players who are equal, if not better players. I mentioned Taylen Green. I think he's equal to, if not better, probably better than KJ Jefferson his last year here. Rocket Sanders didn't play well last year. Jaquindon Jackson's season this year was better than they got out of Rocket Sanders last year. I mentioned Fernando Carmona. You know, he was better than what they got out of Andrew Chambly last year. And again, I don't know if they're going to be able to replace all however many starters they have in the portal now. What is it, eight?
I think it's eight or nine that have started at least one game.
Because Braxton
yes.
is part mm-hmm. of this
yes.
conversation.
Even though he was injured, maybe.
You know, so I don't know him, maybe. I don't know that they're going to be able to replace all of them up to an equal level. But I think they'll probably be able to replace half, two-thirds,
yeah.
something like that, if yeah. not more.
Pittman gave a really good example where he was saying, at this time last year, it looked like they were not going to be able to play a linebacker. You know, like they yeah. had lost everybody. It was who the heck is going to play linebacker for this team? Yes. They lost all of their top contributors. Yeah. I think it was like four or five of the top snap getters.
It was top four tacklers.
Yeah. And so lost all of them. Linebacker looked like it was going to be a disaster. They brought in some guys. We were like, okay, we'll see how these guys do. And then the linebackers ended up being kind of a strength this year. They were good. They were solid. And so, you know, he mentioned the linebacker specifically as an example. And he said, you know, give us the time to work, give us time to show you what we're going to get. And you know, it's early in the portal cycle still. We're just now starting to see some commitments. You mentioned the offensive lineman they got from Oregon last night. So, you know, we're just now starting to see some of that come through, and it's going to continue to develop. Now, they also have gotten some transfer guys that maybe we thought would be better than they were, would contribute more than they did. And there's going to be some of that. So it's really going to come down to how well they're able to replace some of these losses.
People just want to be mad.
Yeah.
They just want to be mad. They want to be mad about 6-6. They want to be mad that Pittman's back for another year. They want to be mad that they're being asked for NIL. They want to be mad that they're playing Notre Dame yeah. and at Memphis. Just want to be mad.
Yeah.
Just
Pittman, Pittman's mad about 6-6. I mean, he that was one of the things
I
he said about this team.
I think there's a misconception about him that he is okay with being a 500 football coach. Mm-hmm. I think it eats him up inside. Mm-hmm. I think he wants to, he thinks they can be so much better. And, you know, I think there's a misconception that, hey, going to the Liberty Bowl is fine. Mm-hmm. They don't want to go to the Liberty Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they're going to say the right things in these, you know, like last Sunday night, he said, this is the bowl we push for. Well, when you're 6-6, it's the bowl that you push for. Yes. But when you're 0-0, trust me, the Liberty Bowl yeah. is not where you're
exactly.
wanting to end up. You know, an end of your season. We've got some sound bites here from Pittman yesterday. We'll start with this one where, you know, he just kind of gives an overall, you know, just kind of an overall viewpoint of what he sees as what's going on from a transfer standpoint and how money relates to it.
I do want to be very specific here. We have money. Our donors have been very good financially to us. Revenue sharing coming up here in July. We have money. It's we're not losing these kids because we don't have money. We're losing them because what our value is per to what maybe they can get elsewhere has been at times substantially different. We were a 6-6 football team, and we've got money, and so we need to use it wisely. We have 29 visits already set up coming out of the portal. What's hard, I think, probably on the fan base is that we know more about who's in the portal than probably anybody does, the availability of us getting them. And so basically it comes down to those two things, Tom. And if we weren't able to match what the number was out there nationally for somebody, then we were saying, hey, we believe that we can go get somebody as good or somebody or two somebodies for that amount of money.
It's free agency. This is free agency. Why does Bill Belichick go to North Carolina? Because he knows how to draft players, AKA recruit. He knows how to deal with free agency, AKA the transfer portal. That's what the transfer portal is. It's free agency. And what Arkansas is dealing with is what mid-major and small market baseball programs deal with all the time. It's, hey, we have brought Bobby Witt up through our system, and he's really freaking good. But you think the Royals are going to be able to afford him whenever it comes time for his next contract? They can't. And so that's what you see. And so I keep calling college football the farm. That's basically what it is. It's the farm. You know, the MAC is the farm for the SEC, or, you know, 6-6 programs are the farm for the teams that are in the playoff. And this is kind of the natural cycle that I think we're going to see for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. And you know, we were talking about whether or not he's satisfied being 6-6. And basically, you know, what he was saying there boils down to players have come to them asking the staff for more money than what the staff has deemed that they are worth. And they would rather spend their money on more fresh talent, new guys, than overpaying to retain players from a 6-6 football team, is mm-hmm. basically what he's mm-hmm. trying to say there. They have aspirations to win more games than they did this year. And some of the guys that are coming to them are talented guys, good players, guys that helped them this year. But at the same time, if they want to get where they want to go, they feel that they can get a better value on a similar or better player for less money, and that can help them achieve more wins than what they did this year. So that's really what it comes down to. And, you know, he said repeatedly, hey, we have the money, which is different from what we've heard him say before, Hunter mm-hmm. Yurecek say before. He said, hey, he feels comfortable about the amount of money that they have. He said, donors have stepped up. It's now about how they're going to use that money. They could use it on a small number. They could use a lot of money on a small number of guys, or he said they would rather spend less money on more guys, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. less to each individual and get more kind of difference makers, they said. So that's kind of the strategy that they've taken. And, you know, we'll see how it works. And he said, you know, we know exactly how much money we have available. We know how much we've spent. We know how much we want to spend, which I think is interesting, because sometimes it feels like none of these programs, you know, we don't know how much money is really floating around in NIL. Sometimes it feels like the programs don't either. Like the collectives don't even know how much they have available. They can make deals with athletes and then have to go find the money. So sometimes it feels like nobody knows how much money there really is. He says that they do, which is good news, and was kind of surprising to me that they know exactly what they're working with. And so I think, like I said, it goes back to the kind of surprising to me anyway, confidence that he had about this whole situation.
You ever watch Frank Caliendo?
I don't know who Frank Caliendo is.
You don't know who Frank Caliendo is, no. Really? He's a comedian. He does a great John Madden impersonation.
Okay.
We'll have to pull one up here in a minute. But anyway, he does this great John Madden impersonation, and you know, he just kind of gets going like Madden did. And then he's like, oh, my head's spinning. That's kind of how I feel whenever I talk about all this. It's just, you know, you hear all this. Well, you know, we've got the money, but we've got to go fundraise the money to make sure that we can pay mm-hmm. him with the money that we promised. Your head just spins hearing all this.
Yeah.
You can get the latest breaking news on all Razorback Sports at WholeHogSports.com. Most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports. Analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at WholeHogSports.com. I want to tell you, too, that you can find our podcast. If you're listening, there's a video version that you can find on YouTube. We also post it on our social media pages on Facebook and Twitter. I'm not saying X on Twitter. And we've got it on Apple and Spotify, too. You can find all of our podcasts by just searching Whole Hog Sports on any of those platforms. Pittman, as part of this, as part of this news conference yesterday, he dropped an interesting line, Christina, basically that if you leave the portal the right way, or if you leave the program for the portal in the right way, you can come back to Arkansas. And then, you know, it wasn't 2 hours later that Selman Bridges didn't announce it. It was reported that he was coming out of the portal. I think On3 might have been able to report first. It's weird. Now, he may have changed it now. I went to Instagram, and the post was still up that he was transferring away from Arkansas, but there was nothing about him coming back. Mm-hmm. And these players, they're like, when they come back after they put out these elaborate, you know, 17-paragraph social media posts about leaving, it's weird. They have to kind of walk that back.
Yeah, it's like, and do they pretend it never happens, or do they do like an "I'm back" like big post? Yeah. You know,
it's like if you break up with your girlfriend and then just kind of show up the next day. You deleted
all your pictures with them already. You delete them all. Here's the secret: you can archive them all, and then you can unarchive them and put them back on your Instagram feed.
I didn't date during the Instagram phase. You know, I'm going with this.
I derailed you again. Success.
You did. Yeah, you got me good. You know, but with Bridges, this is a guy who was a big, you know, fairly big recruit.
For sure.
I know what I was going to say. If I ever go to the portal, which I'm not, I don't think there's a sports writer portal. If there is, I just love to look at it. I don't really want to go anywhere. I just love to see what it looks like. Or if I decommit from Whole Hog Sports, I'm going to have like shorter social media posts.
Yeah.
Mine's going to be much more Michael Jordan, I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind
of what Cam Ball did when he announced he was coming back. It was just a tweet with some photos of him, and it just said like, let's run it back, or like year, whatever, you know. Taylen Green, he wrote a pretty long thing, but Ball kind of just went, hey, I'm back.
like there's got to be this really good underground market out there right now for writing these goodbye letters.
Or it's ChatGPT.
You think it is?
It would not surprise me in the slightest.
Interesting.
It would not surprise me at all.
See, all the modern stuff kind of takes me back. But man, I mean, these things are long. These goodbye posts. It's I hate them.
Yeah,
honestly.
Taylen Green kind of wrote almost a fake out. Like, I had to jump to the last paragraph because he was like, thank you to Coach Pittman, thank you to Bobby Petrino, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, it was like, and with all that being said, I am coming back. It sounded, the lead-in sounded like a thank you to everybody, but I'm leaving. And then it was actually, thanks, everybody. Let's keep going.
I'm glad they get a kick out of this. This is what Pittman had to say about players returning potentially out of the portal.
Well, if they call me and they want to talk about it, and we can agree on a number that was different than the one given, certainly, as long as they left the right way. If they didn't leave the right way, then no, we wouldn't have that conversation. But if they left the right way, and they, you know, I want people who want to be here, you know, I do. And I understand the finances, and you would too if you knew exactly the difference of money that's going on out there. How true it is, I don't know. But as long as they did it the right way, absolutely. And they loved the Hogs. That's big to me.
So this is a different way of approaching this than when Pittman was first here. I think it was Jerry Jacobs who left in the middle of the 2020 season. And, you know, the word kind of got out was that Pittman told the players, if you decide to leave, if you decide to transfer, you're not coming back. And then I think maybe the second year of the portal, Malik Hornsby got in the portal, mm-hmm. but he kept working out with the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was able to come back because he never, you know, he never quit doing team functions. I just think that it's the nature of what they're going through now that you probably have to soften your tone on this a little bit.
You do. And, you know, we've seen some guys in certain situations on other teams, you know, still play in the bowl or practice for the bowl with the team while they're in the portal. Pittman, somebody did ask Pittman if that was the case with any of these guys. And he said, as of yesterday, none of the guys in the portal were planning to be, you know, they didn't intend to have any of them at bowl practices when they begin today.
I wonder if Bridges fell into that category.
I tried to find out. The assumption is he will be in practice today since he is now withdrawn from the portal. I don't know if Pittman knew about Bridges at the time that he spoke to us. Bridges' announcement was like a couple hours later, maybe, so he might have already have talked to him. So he later on in the press conference, he kind of likened it to somebody asked, like, okay, what exactly do you mean by leaving the right way? What does the right way and the wrong way look like? And he likened it to kind of any salary negotiation in any workplace. And he basically said, you know, hey, if you go in and you ask for a huge raise and the employer says, hey, we're not, you know, we can't afford that, basically. It's not personal. It's just kind of about, it's a business decision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's, you have a good relationship, you basically part ways amicably. It's just, it's a business decision, like I said. And then he said, if you just put something out on Twitter and said, I'm in the portal, and you didn't go talk to your employer, that probably wouldn't be the right way to leave. So I'm guessing they've had that happen with at least a couple of these guys. But if, you know, a guy kind of goes about it the way that he wants, which is, you know, having a discussion, really kind of making the effort to, you know, be good about it, I guess, be part amicably, then yeah, he's willing to have them back if he feels like they really want to be there. And, you know, he also mentioned if some of these guys are getting bad advice from agents, mm-hmm. because he mentioned, you know, there's no regulation for these agents, there's no certification. Anybody, I could quit my job today and be somebody's agent tomorrow if they wanted to hire me. There's no certification. No, they wouldn't want me to. There's no certification for these agents. So sometimes players get bad advice, you know, and it's whether it's, you know, villainous agents trying to do that or if it's just people that don't know what they're doing. And he was also saying, you know, we understand some of the situations these players get in. And if it's a situation where they had a bad agent situation, basically, and got bad advice, then, yeah, we're going to be sympathetic to that if they did it the right way.
A lot more Razorback football to come. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. The Razorbacks got their first commitment from the transfer portal overnight. Jaquan McCroy, I hope I'm saying that right. First name spelled Jacqawn. Jaquan McCroy, 6'8", 375 pounds from Oregon. He was a freshman for the Ducks this season. He redshirted there. He was recruited by Arkansas out of high school. He went to Pinson Clay Chalkville, which they've had more than one player, they've certainly recruited more than one player from this school. It's one that I've seen a few times. This is in Scott Fountain's recruiting territory. Seems like he does a really nice job down in Alabama for the Razorbacks. A four-star recruit out of high school. He was the number 199 overall prospect for the class of 2024. On three, rates him the number 11 offensive tackle in the transfer portal. So he's Arkansas's first player out of the portal. Don't know a whole lot about him, but the size certainly jumps out at you. 6'8", 375. Yeah. And, you know, the numbers out of high school, it looks like this is a big time recruit.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to speak with somebody that covers Oregon today for a story that I'll put online today about
ask
him.
If it's Jaquan.
Yeah, I my guess is Jaquan.
Jaquan, okay.
I'm not gonna hit the A as hard, but okay. That's my guess. That's my guess. I'm gonna find out though. We're gonna have an Iamaliava on this team, so we're gonna have to be really good about names.
I'm fine with the Iamaliava. Chip's the one I'm worried about.
But yeah, so with McRoy, I mean, yeah, I think it's going to be a good thing for them. You know, offensive line. We asked Pittman yesterday. You know, what are the priorities for you in the transfer portal? Some of them are pretty obvious because you can see where it's depleted. And he mentioned the first things he mentioned were the trenches, you know, offensive line, defensive line, that's top priority. He mentioned tight ends, wide receivers, you know, there's not a lot that they don't need right now. But offensive line is a huge one. I'll be interested, you know, he was a true freshman at Oregon. I don't think he played much at Oregon, if at all, this season. It'll be interesting to see kind of what the expectation for him is in this first year. If this is a guy that they brought in, you know, I'd be curious what their conversations with him were like as far as, you know, I can't imagine they said, we're going to plug you in right away. I imagine they are hoping that this can be a guy that they develop. This is what's so hard about offensive line now, though, is that offensive line is a position that does take time to develop and nobody is giving it time anymore. That's why, you know, Coach Pittman talked about this earlier in the season. He said, you know, I think a lot of what you're seeing in college football as far as, you know, a lack of dominant teams or maybe a more level playing field is, he was like, I think offensive line play is getting worse, or just not as good, because of kind of all this movement that you're seeing, a lack of development, things like that. And so I'll be interested if this is a guy that they brought in, you know, with the intention of, this is somebody that we want to have for the future, or if this is somebody that they're hoping can contribute right away.
I've compared it before to like getting your kids ready in the morning. You know, it's like you and your wife, or me and my wife, you know, it's like, okay, you get the toothpaste, you get the hair, I'll get the lunch, I'll get the, you know, I'll get the backpack. So, you know, I got to go potty. You know, and you kind of know like what everybody's going to do, you know, regardless of whatever the crazy situation is. It's kind of like somebody, you know, or, I mean, are they bringing a blitz? Yeah, I'm going to pick this up.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of what it's like. And if you don't know the player who's lined up next to you, it can make a big difference on the offensive line. I think those are great thoughts from Pittman. And it's stuff that I don't know that people really think about in terms of how the portal affects a team. Richard Davenport's doing a great job for us covering all of these players who are coming in. He's written on our website today, the Razorbacks are going to host four players for official visits beginning today. Jaden Platt, a Texas A&M tight end, Michigan State defensive end Kevin Talley, North Texas receiver DT Sheffield, and New Mexico running back Eli Sanders. Sanders is a running back who seems like he's getting quite a bit of shine during this transfer portal process. All those players will be in Fayetteville for visits, I guess, beginning today. Or maybe beginning last night, I'm not quite sure, but Richard's got just tons and tons and tons of stories on our website right now about this transfer portal. If you want to go to wholehogsports.com, click on recruiting, you can read about all the different players that Arkansas has offered, that they're talking to, that are coming for visits either this week or maybe they're planning one for next week. It's a crazy time when it comes to portal. Taylen Green says he's coming back to Arkansas. We touched on it a second ago. You know, I've been critical of Green this year. You know, the turnovers are just those have got to improve next year. I think if he wants to be a 12-game starter again, 13-game starter, how many games they end up playing. But he does have experience. He has experience in the offense, you know, kind of the same way that it helps when you've had offensive linemen who have played together for multiple years. I think it helps when you've had a quarterback and a coordinator who have been together for more than just one season. And as of right now, it looks like Bobby Petrino is going to be back. Taylen Green's going to be back. And so I see that as nothing but positive for the football team.
Yeah, definitely. I think we've talked before about, you know, just talking to some people that played under Petrino. It's a hard system to learn, and it seems like he would benefit from more time in it. And so I think having Taylen Green back is a big deal for them. I think that didn't surprise me too much once we found out, you know, Bobby Petrino would be staying. But I just think, you know, it's always better to, the longer you can have to learn and to develop and things like that, the better. Right. And I'll be curious, you know, I think so much of what he's able to do next year is going to hinge on what they're able to do at offensive line. And I think that's why it's going to be such a big thing to watch this offseason, is how they replace those three starters from an offensive line that this year was much maligned and, you know, wasn't always great. So I think it's something that if they're able to improve there, and Taylen Green is able to improve some of his own actual fundamentals and technique and reading of defenses, if they can combine those things, we should see a lot of improvement.
Am I looking at you enough today?
I think you're looking at me.
I've been told that I don't look at you.
I think I look at you too much because I don't know where else to look.
If everybody saw all this stuff I got going on back here, you'd understand.
I just stare at you because it's just easier to talk to a person than a camera.
There's nothing over here either. That kind of makes a difference. This is what Sam Pittman had to say about Taylen Green.
I've known that for about, the day after my hip surgery. So I guess last Wednesday, I knew Taylen won, you know, and he's such a Brett. He wants to be a Hog. He wants to play here. He wants to play for the state. And that's nothing against the guys that got in the portal. It isn't. Their business is their business. But it's a big deal to me that he wants to stay here and run it back and stay with Bobby and stay with that offense. I think it will be so big and beneficial to him, and it will help us in recruiting as well.
So Taylen Green back for Arkansas. Obviously, he'll play in the bowl game against Texas Tech here in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today is the bowl game. Pittman talked some about, who are the players who step up and fill these spots from all the different starters that are going to be out against Texas Tech? Would you like to
in? He mentioned, because the biggest question is, all right, who's he going to throw the ball to? Yeah. Notable is Isaac Tislaw is going to play in the bowl game, at least as far as we know now. And so, you know, that's big as far as guys with experience. He specifically mentioned C.J. Brown. That was the first guy he brought up, freshman. And Monte Harrison, everybody's favorite former MLB player. Mm-hmm. You know, probably we'll see him play a bit. He also noted Dasmond James, Cross Johnson, and Bryce Stevens. And one thing that was interesting is he said tight end Shamar Easter might get some work at wide receiver.
I had forgotten about Bryce Stevens.
Me too.
I forgot he was on the team.
Yeah, so we're maybe going to see him in Liberty Bowl. And then Easter, you know, whenever there was kind of some discussion of the tight ends, and especially after the two dismissals of Varquez Gums and Ty Washington this season, we had a lot of people on our message board asking, like, where's Shamar Easter? What's his deal? Because he was a pretty highly rated recruit out of Arkansas, the state of Arkansas, a couple years ago, and just hasn't really gotten the chance to contribute. But it sounds like they might try to put him in at wide receiver. I don't know if that's something that they're wanting to do more permanently or if that's just kind of to plug a hole at the bowl game. But I mean, I would think they need tight end help, you know, they need guys at tight end. So I guess I'm a little surprised to see them do that. And I guess that would make me not surprised if they decide to permanently switch him to wide receiver or use him more that way. But so those are the guys he specifically mentioned as being the guys they expect to step up at wide receiver and that you'll see in the Liberty Bowl.
And then on defense, they're going to be without Landon Jackson after he's opted out. Nico Dabele is in the transfer portal. He mentioned Anton Junkaj is going to be available, and that's someone who we haven't really heard from about over the last half of the season.
Right, yeah, he was just not contributing that much. He also had some injury stuff kind of late there too. Quincy Rhodes will be back, and he mentioned that he's excited about Kavion Henderson and Charlie Collins, those young guys. You know, keeping them is big. I think they're really excited about both of them, I think, and those were two highly rated guys, and I believe the last recruit, I think they were both true freshmen this year, weren't they? So
I can't keep up.
I think they were both true freshmen because I think they were in our recruiting issue. I think of everything in terms of Hogs Illustrated issues. I think they were in our recruiting issue this year. So those are guys that they're looking forward to having.
Sam said yesterday, and it's a great point, he said that there's three signing classes every year. You've got your high school signing class, and you know most of that, if not all, is done in December. Then you have your early portal transfers, and then you have your late transfer portals. Or portal transfers. And so I can't keep up with whenever all these different players came. Like, I mean, you're talking about Bryce Stevens. I totally forgot about him just because there's so many other players that it seems like are on our mind.
Yeah.
Whether it be players in, out, played, not played. That's one I'd forgotten about.
Yep. All year long, I was confusing Tyrell Reed and Rodney Hill because they're both running back transfers that came in the spring. And all year long, every time I would talk about them, I had to like double check. I had to think to myself, which one is the one that's playing more? Yeah. Which one is it? Which name is it? Even right now, I can't really. It's Rodney Hill.
Rodney Hill.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they both came out of the state of Florida?
Yes, I believe right? so. Yeah. So they were just the same. I knew there were two different guys, but I was just having trouble.
I'm telling you, it's hard keeping up with who the players are now. Mm-hmm. I said this the other day. I'll be watching a game now. We're 12 games into the year, and I'm like, who is that?
Yeah. I'll tell you what I do. I have a spreadsheet that I like annotate and color code and add notes to so that I can refer back to it and say so that I remember who each guy is. You know, whenever they come in, I'm like, oh, this was the guy that was the 4-star out of wherever that Pittman said this about. You know, I make notes to myself so that I can refer back because I also have a terrible memory. So it's just a whole mess.
So what I need to do, what you're saying, I need to make some of these play-by-play flip cards.
That's it. Honestly, yes. To just so, have
because I make those
season.
For high school games yes. on Friday nights. I just need to.
Yes, it might be beneficial and... just to make sure when you have this many new guys. But no, I mean, and the other thing I thought was interesting this year was they got a lot of guys in the spring portal window that they did end up using quite a bit. And I feel like, I think I probably said it on, you know, our podcasts or in writing at the time is I sometimes don't really trust these spring transfers. They go through spring practice with another team, bail. Not because I think there's anything, you know, that they're bad for doing that, but because they started with a different team. And now, you know, we've talked a lot about learning and development this, you know, on this show today. It's hard when they have started that process somewhere else and then come here and have to start over and have basically, you know, short notice to kind of get on the same page with everybody. But they actually had success with some of these spring guys. They got a lot of them, and I was worried about it. And they actually did do a good job with several of them.
Steven Dix coming back to Arkansas. That's a sixth season of eligibility next year for him, the linebacker. Mentioned Patrick Kudus has transferred or announced that he's transferring to Ole Miss. Just the amount of information on a day-to-day basis from football, it's almost overwhelming. It really is.
And that was something Pittman talked about, is just, you know, he talked about how there's like 3,600 kids in the portal and they're having to evaluate that. And then we're getting, you know, I have tweet notifications on for just about everybody just to be on alert whenever we get an announcement that someone's leaving, coming back, withdrawing, entering, staying, whatever, you know, committing. There's so much going on right now.
It's like he was asked yesterday about Petrino turning down the Charlotte job. And I had to wow.
That feels like so long ago.
That feels like so long ago. And it only happened last week because there's been so much else that's happened since then.
Right. And he did talk a little bit about some of the staff moves, and he talked about how having Bobby Petrino and Taylen Green back for another year is helpful to them in recruiting. That was in our soundbite earlier, because they can talk to offensive skill players or offensive linemen and say, you know, this is who you're going to have. You know, it's that consistency is really helpful, being able to say concretely what things are going to look like for them if they choose Arkansas. So, yeah, the Bobby Petrino thing feels like forever ago. Pittman said, you know, they feel like everybody, you know, the coaching carousel has kind of slowed now because they have to do everything so quickly because of this portal season, because of signing day. Everything has to happen pretty early. So he said he, as far as he knows, nobody has any kind of offers on the table or is in talks with anybody on his staff to leave. So it's looking like it's going to remain intact.
You want to come back Monday to talk about your Heisman vote?
Sure.
All right.
I cast it on my friend's couch in New Jersey right after the conference championship games ended.
Okay. I put mine in Monday afternoon.
Gotcha.
So we have to keep our lips sealed on our Heisman votes until it's announced tomorrow night. This is kind of a fun Heisman year, too, because you don't know who's going to win. I mean, there's two really strong candidates, and it seems like it's going to possibly be a pretty close vote race. Christina, thanks for being here. When we come back, Anthony Christensen will join us to talk Razorback basketball, but first a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. We want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971, committed, professional, versatile. If you are looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. The Razorback basketball team back in the state tomorrow night down in North Little Rock at Simmons Bank Arena. They're going to play UCA at 3 o'clock. It's going to be on SEC Network Plus. Razorbacks 8-2 after beating Michigan the other day up at Madison Square Garden. UCA comes into the game with a 2-7 record, and they've lost three consecutive games, including the last two, against UALR and UAPB. The Razorbacks going to be a big favorite to win this game. But you know how Simmons Bank Arena goes. It just seems like you never get Arkansas's, I don't know if I'm going to say their best effort, but it always seems like it's a struggle for them when they play a basketball game down in Central Arkansas. Anthony Christensen's going to be there. He joins us on the phone right now. Anthony spoke to UCA's head coach yesterday. Anthony, what's the feel going into this game from the UCA perspective?
Yeah, I mean, they're excited about the opportunity, right? I mean, it's not often, especially, I guess, Arkansas playing against in-state teams is a pretty new phenomenon. Just obviously happened before I started showing up, but now I know that's still a pretty new thing, because I mean they've only played UALR twice in official games, and now they're playing UCA. But they're really excited about the opportunity to play against Arkansas, especially at a quote-unquote neutral site. I mean, it's going to be a Razorback home game, but I mean, let's not make any mistakes about that. But they're excited that it's just about whatever it is, like 30 minutes from Conway. Mm-hmm. And they're excited about the opportunity. I mean, it's not been the start to the season that UCA has wanted. They've dealt with a lot of injury concerns with guys that they would be starting to this point of the season. But they view it as a really good opportunity to, if everything goes their way, I mean, maybe they can pull an upset, or I mean, they're going to get a good experience one way or another. That should prepare them for A-Sun play. But they're looking forward to it for sure.
You know, back in the day, Arkansas used to play high major teams down in North Little Rock. I mean, Bob Knight and Texas Tech came there, and Eddie Sutton and Oklahoma State, and Scott Drew and Baylor, and you just go on down. Bill Self brought Illinois there. And so they've had some big teams that have played there. But, over the last 15 years or so, it's become these mid-major type programs that they've played there. And I say all that to say that because of the proximity of UCA to the arena, it's certainly going to be an Arkansas home game, but I think you're going to see more visitor fans in the stands than you typically would see. Maybe even more UCA absolutely. Fans than you would see at their games in Conway, because it's a chance for them to play the big dog in the state.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the things that, John Shulman and I talked about was, how excited, obviously the team is, but the fan base as well. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, it's about 30 minutes from Conway. So, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people will be making the short drive down wearing their purple. He joked about, maybe saving Arkansas some gas money and some meal money having the game in Conway there at Ferris Center. But don't think that one's happening. But no, it'll be fun. I've always been a big proponent of, teams playing in-state opponents. I think it's fun for the state, fun for the smaller programs, especially. I know maybe there's not as much to gain for in this sense, Arkansas playing against some of the other, smaller schools in-state. But I've always kind of felt it's good for the state, good for everybody involved. But yeah, no, I mean, everybody at UCA seems excited about the opportunity. I mean, obviously it should be an Arkansas win, probably pretty handily. But I mean, it'll be a good experience for everybody involved, I think.
That in-state thinking probably is not going to fly too high around here, Anthony. A lot of people are still pretty upset about Arkansas playing the in-state teams. John Shulman came to UCA from Alabama Huntsville? Is that
Alabama,
right?
Alabama Huntsville, yep.
Yeah, five Division
five,
two.
5 years there, five consecutive NCAA tournament appearances, if I'm not mistaken.
Trying to turn around UCA's program. They haven't had a 10-win season in what, 3-4 years now?
I believe that is correct. I believe their last 10-win season was the 2021-22 season.
Okay.
And the last time they finished above 500, I think, was 17-18, if I'm remembering correctly.
So, like, from an Arkansas standpoint, what are you expecting tomorrow?
A win, first and foremost, just get that out of the way. I think you want to see them not have, I guess, a hangover from the big win against Michigan. Obviously, that's an important win for their resume, an important win just to get a win against, a team in KenPom's top 50. I believe they've got 3 wins over top 100 teams, and one of them was Lipscomb, the other was Miami. So they kind of need that opportunity, right? Or they needed that opportunity to beat Michigan. But now that they're playing against a team that is, no disrespect, not nearly on that same level as Michigan, you want to see them, still play to that level, still play to that standard, and, not, sink to below that level or play, I guess, down to the opposition, if that makes sense. Secondly, I mean, I think you want to see them continue to have that high pressure defense. I mean, I think Michigan had 12 turnovers in the second half alone. So if you can, keep doing that against a UCA team that is playing a lineup that it wasn't expecting to start at the start of the season, you should have some success there. And then I think, continuing to get that guard play going, obviously Boogie Flynn and DJ Wagner having a really good game against Michigan, but maybe you get somebody like John L. Davis going again. Obviously he had entered that game shooting a lot better and then kind of had a little bit of a step back against Michigan, but maybe you use this game to get him going, get him some good looks and stuff like that. But I think those are kind of the big things. Maybe continue to get Jonas Adu some more reps, get him more familiar with the system. If Zvonimir Ivicic is ready to go, get him back up to speed. I think those are kind of the main things. But I think the biggest thing is you don't want to fall or slip to below that standard that you saw in the Michigan game.
And you
which can't be hard, just because, just playing against a ranked team and in Madison Square Garden, there's a little bit of a different, feel to that when you're playing against a team that has, struggled as much as Central Arkansas has this season.
Well, and you kind of touched on this. I feel like things are kind of setting up nicely for Arkansas here because they've only got 3 games over the next, 2.5 weeks. They play UCA, then they're off for a week. Then they play North Carolina A&T, and then they're off for 9 days before they play Oakland. And then they've even got a little bit of the time, I think 5 days between that game and when the Tennessee game begins. So you're going to have three teams that I think you can work on some things in game. You're going to have a lot of practice time, and it's setting up nicely where, okay, it looks like Jonas Adu, he's coming out of what was ailing him. Zvonimir Ivicic, you mentioned, he's looking like he's back. Trevin Brazil, obviously back. So now you got your 9 guys, and you got a lot of time to be able to really see if you can make this team gel over the next 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you don't want to get another practice injury like John Calipari had said happened to Zvonimir Ivicic. But you've got a big opportunity here, obviously, with and maybe this isn't as big of a deal as I might make it out to be, but they're not going to be in classes for a couple weeks, right? They're going to be in break from class, so they'll be able to take advantage of that and just focus strictly on basketball. Getting to practice, do full scrimmages against each other. That's been something that John Calipari's talked about a lot. Is that, we've only scrimmaged 2-3 times. Getting everybody healthy up to speed and getting to do that, get to see more like live ball action just against each other and, have that opportunity. That's invaluable stuff, right? So, you get that, you get everybody healthy, you keep everybody healthy. Don't want to get any more practice injuries and stuff like that. That's where you can really start to build and start, I guess, creating that momentum, especially going into that Tennessee game. And now having seen Tennessee in person, they look really, really good, man. So they're going to need all the reps they can get going into Knoxville.
Sometimes I wonder if Calipari knows that he has the same audience from press conference to press conference, because he has mentioned the thing about the scrimmaging. It seems like after every single game, he said it again Tuesday night after they played Michigan up in New York. The Razorbacks, a good chance here maybe to get themselves back in the top 25 with a win on Saturday night after the way they played against Michigan the other night. I got to believe that that impressed voters. Anthony, we appreciate your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Anthony Christensen, you can read his work, his coverage of Razorback basketball out on our website at wholehogsports.com. He'll have plenty of stories over the weekend as the Razorbacks play UCA, 3 o'clock tip-off Saturday at Simmons Bank Arena in North Little Rock. SEC Network Plus will televise. We appreciate you being here with us all week. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday. Hope we see you at our website. Until then.